I was in high school, we studied a group of poets called the Beat Poets, and they were poets who became prominent after World War II and really pushed back with a lot of resistance against the status quo. And one of those poets is a man named Lawrence Ferlinghetti, and he, one of his most well-known poems is something called I Am Waiting. It's very, very long, and I won't quote it all to you, but I will quote you some pieces of it. In it he says, I am waiting for the war to be fought which will make the world safe for anarchy. I am waiting for the great divide to be crossed, and I'm anxiously waiting for the secret of eternal life to be discovered by an obscure general practitioner. I am waiting to get some intimations of immortality, and I am waiting for the green mornings to come again. I am waiting for the American eagle to spread its wings. One of the comments that I read about this piece of poetry is that Ferlinghetti uses the words, I am waiting, to provide commentary on the many problems in society. But it seems to me it's just a list. It's just a list. It's a lament with no attempt at remedy and no attempt at healing or at growth or change. I think most of us know what the problems are. So I wonder, when we are drawn to pieces like this, what are we really trying to express? I believe that there is not just expression of a listing of problems, but there is also a deeper worry in our expression and in our waiting. Aren't we at least a little bit worried, wondering why God is waiting to redeem this world? Aren't we worried in that we believe God to be loving and omnipotent, but the evidence of our time sometimes belies those adjectives? There have always been such times in the human endeavor. And Jesus offered some comfort in a similar time when he spoke to his followers. And he said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you." Jesus goes on to say, "They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." As it turns out, that commandment that we are to keep is the commandment to love God and neighbor. It doesn't say just to lament in the waiting, but to do it now. We are called to repent, which means to turn toward God, and would have to mean addressing the inertia instead of just complaining. Part of repentance, after all, is choosing godly action over passivity. These laments that are in Ferlinghetti's poem, and many laments in our time, are in the passive voice. Waiting for the great divide to be crossed, for the secret of eternal life to be discovered, for the war to be fought, to get some intimations of immortality. We're anxious to give a litany of today's woes. Why aren't we at least as anxious to do something to remedy them? Well, it's a lot of work. We're fighting against a system that is lumbering along, it seems, in the wrong direction, and there's so much that needs to be changed, we just throw up our hands and say, I can't have any effect on it. We would also have to, if we wanted to make great changes, we would have to admit that what we're doing isn't working. And if we start to do something to try to change things, we wouldn't have that convenient place to put the blame. We hesitate to take responsibility for our actions. or our lack of action? In all the history of God's people, there has been sort of a tension between the law and the living of life. And so very often people who followed God tried to use just the law and to say, I've done these things, and so I'm in right relationship with God. But they were very specific things. They were very easy to measure. But if we just lean on something that we see as a to-do list, then we haven't taken individual responsibility for this greater truth that is brought to us by the Holy Spirit. If we lean only on the law and away from taking responsibility and action for ourselves, we've moved into that passive voice. We think of what the law allows versus what I choose to do as the righteous way. We're no longer waiting for the one Jesus promised us. The Holy Spirit is here, infusing us with the power of God and the power to change our environment, to change our relationships, to change our nation, at the very least, to change our attitudes. And yet very often we prefer to just lament and remain stuck in the place where we were before we knew about God. The place of fear or resentment or quick judgment, of condemnation, or even of despair. We're called to an active faith. So if I choose an active faith, what changes in my life? There's still plenty of evil in the world. I won't fix that. But at least I won't add to it. And maybe the example of my righteous choice would influence another person to do the same. Timothy Keller talks about the change that is supposed to be made in us as we move into relationship with God. And he says the gospel is the good news that God has accomplished our salvation for us through Christ in order to bring us into right relationship with him and eventually to destroy all the results of sin in the world. It's a tall order. But what's my part? If I were to be in a completely right relationship with our loving God, what could I do differently to reveal God's kingdom and to build it? I have an old wound that I've been carrying around for about 20 years. I could forgive it, or at least get over it, get past it. I could look for reasons to build instead of constantly seeking opportunities to be offended. I could try to understand where someone else's pain comes from instead of perpetuating the cycle of pain by hitting back or by passing that pain along to the next person I encounter. There are lots of things I can do if I take responsibility for my own relationship with God. And we don't have to do it alone. Jesus did not leave us alone, but empowered us with the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, to lead us into all truth and consequently to lead us into all godly action. In the Christian life, the verbs required are not passive verbs. We are not called simply to offer passively a litany of the wrongs of this world, but to actively cross the great divide, to discover the eternal, to fight the war, to seek out and live out intimations of immortality. I think that's what God would tell us if God had written, I am waiting. Instead of waiting for the American eagle to really spread its wings, God might say, I'm waiting for your heart and your actions to echo the words that you say. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I want your life to show that you really want that you are willing to really live that. I think God would say, I'm waiting for you to invite me, putting me ahead of all your other little gods, so that the second coming can begin in you. You've talked about having the great divide crossed. Why don't you take one step to become closer to someone who is unlike you? And God might say, you want green mornings? You should be willing to surrender something familiar and stultifying for something new and fresh and risky and holy. You want the war to be fought? How about if you choose for yourself to value the common good over your own gain and to hold politicians accountable for that common good? Our world is broken. People all around us are broken. We are given the gifts of healing and reconciliation, and we are given them in God's name. God has empowered us with the Advocate, the Holy Spirit. Maybe God, too, wants to write those words. I am waiting.